Spirit Radio Podcasts.
So tonight, have you decided on your university course? Or are you still deciding? Well, stay tuned because my guest tonight may well encourage you to go after your passions when choosing your university subjects. Gráinne McCarthy is with me in the studio and who recently used her passion for photography and the skill that she learnt and fine-tuned at university over a year ago. So Gráinne, welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here, Gráinne. And I'm really excited, actually, to have you here on Spirit Radio because I am sure that many people listening think of university, perhaps, wondering what course to do, or thinking, does going to university negate serving God and using your gifts? Will you ever use it again? So, Gráinne, you've been to Kenya recently, and you were there for 6 weeks. Now, tell us, who did you go with and what did you do?
So I went with an organisation called Vincentian Lay Missionaries, and I was what they do is they connect you with the Daughters of Charity, who, as a lot of you may be aware, are an order of nuns or sisters. And I was sent out to Kenya to do photography and to travel to their 5 different locations in Kenya and photograph the different projects that they're doing there.
And I have to say, just looking at your photographs, they are just quite incredible. If you want to see a taste of one of Gráinne's pictures, go to our Facebook page and check that out, because I have to say, it's absolutely amazing. It really is. So I'd love to actually, like, now, how long ago were you at university, Gráinne? Tell us a little bit about the journey. You're a Christian.
Yeah.
You love Jesus, mm-hmm. Which is very important. And I know, like, your journey from university to what you're doing now, and being in Kenya. Tell us a little bit about kind of that journey. How did it kind of start? Did you always want to do photography when you go to university? Did you think that photography was the thing that you were going to do?
So it's one of those things that I always did love photography. Like, my dad's a landscape photographer, and I've always kind of enjoyed taking pictures and just looking at the world through a lens. So it was what I was interested in. And coming to my CAO, it was, okay, what do I want to do with my life? And I was like, God, I really don't know. What do I want to do? Like, what do I want to study for the next few years and kind of try and make into a life choice, you know? And all I could think about was photography. And in the end, it was the only thing I had on my CV, or my CAO. And I wasn't sure I was even going to get the points or anything like that. But it was just true prayer. I was like, God, okay, I'm definitely wanting to do photography, and that's all I can think about. So I'm going to put it down. And if I don't get it, I know it's not from you. And if I get it, then, okay, I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to do photography and see what comes from that, you know. And it was definitely a miracle that I got the points to get in anyway, because, as I'm sure my parents will tell you, I wasn't the most studious person and all that sort of stuff, but I did. I think their heads were wrecked trying to get me to study, but thankfully I was definitely blessed to get the points and to get into IADT, the art college in Dunleary, to study photography.
Yeah, now you mentioned that you're not necessarily like somebody that enjoys study. Mm-hmm. And you ended up going, so would you say you're more of a practical person? You like practical stuff. Photography is very practical, isn't it?
It is, and the course isn't necessarily completely practical. Like, it is a bachelor honours, so you have to do a thesis and do essay writings and things like that.
So you had to do some study.
So I had to do some study, and even then I think I did the bare minimum, you know.
So you did, you went to university, now you graduated, what, over a year ago?
Yeah, just over a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've only just, I guess, used the skills that you've learned at university. You've only just kind of like maybe put them into real practice. Is that fair to say?
So definitely, because coming out of the course and kind of being faced with the real world, like I'm still working, and I was working through college in a coffee shop, and I handed in all my...
Big shout out to the coffee shop.
Yes, Insomnia Monkstown. But I was there, and I was... I finished my coursework. I handed it all in, and then I had to walk to work, and I was in work And that was it. It was just life just continued on. I just didn't do the college thing. I just did the work. And I was doing more and more work. And it was just life, you know. You just wake up, go to work, come home, do whatever, spend time with my housemates, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, it's a year later nearly since I had finished college. And I was like, I haven't done anything with this. I haven't taken photographs. I haven't used it, you know. And definitely people were kind of trying to encourage me to do it, but it just made it all so much scarier to think, what can I do with photography? It's kind of a specialist thing in terms of there's no direct path to becoming a photographer and having a career in it. So kind of trying to figure out the next step.
So I guess, I mean, like, photography is one of those courses. It's a it's a practical course, but I can imagine there's also a lot of theory,
yeah,
and that kind of stuff as well, how to get the good pictures and photography and all that sort of stuff. And you mentioned that maybe it's kind of hard when a student finishes a course like photography, so there's not really a natural necessary progression into something.
Yeah.
Which I guess can make that hard.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, it was very hard because particularly the course, it's very much towards growing yourself as a photographer and discovering what sort of photography you want to do and how you want to do it. It's very free in that way. And it's very much about kind of, I wouldn't say discovering your kind of skills, but it's definitely about fine-tuning the skills you have and about kind of growing in the ways that you wish to pursue in the future. So if you want to do portraiture photography, you'll spend a lot of time learning about lighting and things like that, and you'll choose your projects. So you choose your themes and you choose what you want to do. But it's funny, like, what I ended up doing in Kenya, the photography is worlds away from what I wanted to do. And it's like, it's terrifying for me, you know, absolutely terrifying. But I definitely found that just taking a step and just going with it made a huge difference, because if I wasn't to have done that trip, I probably still wouldn't have taken many photographs since finishing college, you know. You kind of need to push out the door.
Would you say before you took that trip, photography took a little bit of a backseat?
It definitely did. Yeah. Like, it's kind of, okay, I have my degree now. Okay, that's great. I'll put it in my room somewhere and hope it doesn't get crushed.
So I'd love to come back to this, because I'd love to come back to this, how photography and going to Kenya, I guess, kick-started perhaps your passion for photography, mm-hmm. So going out into another culture, and how it kind of interfaced with your faith as well. Because I know I loved to hear something earlier when we were just on the way here talking about how photography and faith is very much interfaced in your life and how you look at life. And I'd love to hear more of that as well. Spirit Radio, welcome back to Wednesday Night on Spirit Radio with myself, Pop-Up Richie, talking with Gwenny McCarthy, who on her journey after university followed her passion for photography, recently back from Kenya with her Daughters of Charity, photographing their work of what they do. And the pictures, I have to say, are really something really amazing. If you want to see one of the pictures, did put it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/spiritradio. So Gwanya, you mentioned how earlier you touched on how the trip opened possibilities for how you use photography. Particularly, I was interested to hear that you kind of mentioned that when you went there, it was a particular brand, I guess, of photography that you didn't really necessarily aspire to.
Yeah.
Let me put your microphone up. Might be a good idea.
Yeah. So the photography, I suppose, you could look at it as photojournalistic, which is definitely a genre of photography that I would have ran a million miles away from when
Why
I was in
is
college.
That? Why would you have run a million miles? What is it that...
I guess it isn't what I expected it was. For me, I kind of saw journalistic photography as kind of intrusive and in some cases dangerous and very, very difficult.
Like getting to the war zone.
Yeah, things like that, you know, and just kind of the hardship that you may see and encounter, mm-hmm. and how you're kind of like, how could you take a photograph in that situation when you're encountering this sort of stuff? But going there, and even, you know, while I was there the first couple of days, I really kind of struggled. I was like, what am I doing here? You know, how am I even taking these photographs? These pictures aren't coming out as well as I want them to, or how do I engage better with people when there's a language barrier? Things like that, that really did kind of hit me the first couple of days, and possibly I was a bit homesick and all that sort of stuff, you know, realizing mm-hmm. how far away I am from yeah. home, all on my own. Although,
did your parents back home kind of miss you, expect you to actually?
I think they did miss me a bit, I'm sure. Yeah. But definitely with, like, you know, not having my dad there, who's a huge support with my photography, like, I can just be like, oh, Dad, what do you think of this? And not having him there and not being able to contact, like, other photographers from the course and things like that, and even not being able to Google how to do things, you know?
Yeah.
It's very different.
You mean limited internet?
Well, very limited. And I think that definitely didn't help the parents when they couldn't get in touch and things. So limited, you know, there'd be power cuts and just limited.
What about life in Kenya with Daughters of Mercy? Daughters of Charity, Daughters of Charity. Life there and actually kind of working with, like, seeing some of your pictures, the wonderful picture of the, like, kids in the I guess not hospitals, but certainly giving medical care.
Yeah.
Photographing those quite real shots.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is it's a very different kind of association with photographs. I think people aren't, like, here, if you go to take someone's photo, you know, they fix their hair and they want to look good. Whereas
that's a very westernized.
It is, and that's something that was quite different. Is, you know, I encountered people and they were trying really hard not to smile in photographs, and it was really frustrating for me. I was like, I'm going to have to wait until you laugh because this just looks ridiculous, you know. But I definitely found that. Kind of the work they were doing, you know, they're working with people who just need support. And like one of their kind of founders, I suppose, if you could call it that, would be St. Vincent.
Okay.
So St. Vincent yes. de Paul, and the idea of working with people in poverty and people who need help. And it doesn't matter what religion or anything like that. It's just about being able to help somebody who needs help. And it's just about being able to help these people, but they need to be able to be willing to help themselves as well. So they need to maybe contribute towards something. Like, you know, it isn't just a constant, like, you kind of imagine the Western world is just throwing money constantly over. But they're very much about, in order to achieve something, like, people, maybe they need to pay towards a school fees, or they need to pay towards their state exams, or equipment or things like that, that just allow them to build a future and a career for themselves and their family. And it isn't just about giving money. It's definitely about kind of growing people and growing communities and changing mindsets. Like, a lot of the work with the Daughters of Charity is to do with people with disabilities and things like that, where in some areas people, you know, unfortunately would still consider that a curse for families and for individuals. But with the help of the Daughters of Charity, they're going to classes and schools. And although it isn't the same curriculum, they're making friends.
Isn't that so wonderful, actually, just kind of get the opportunity to go to school through this work, through this ministry, so needed. And so often, I was kind of hearing earlier this week how it's so easy for us in the West to take education for granted.
Yeah.
It's like we get into our lectures, or when at school, we're kind of in our school lessons, like, we can't wait for the bell to go home. Yet actually, like, in these places, the kids are there, they want to learn and they want to be there. What a contrast. A text in from Barry in Dublin. Love hearing your story, Gwanya. Mm-hmm. He asked a question: did you feel that God was calling you to use the gift of photography he blessed you with to further his work in Africa? And is it something you see yourself doing again?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think that's the biggest thing that's kind of opened my eyes up, because I was thinking, going to college, and kind of after putting it on my CAO and saying, okay, God, I'm going to go to college and all that sort of stuff, that I just wasn't expecting to happen. And going on this trip, it was an opportunity to use photography in a way I hadn't expected. You know, I never would have done it myself. It was very much putting me out of my comfort zone and, you know, kind of leaving me in Kenya on my own with the sisters, you know. And I was like, okay, God, I really need you now, you know. And my whole thing was, there were times when I was like, okay, looking back and thinking about journalistic photography as I did when I was in college, it's not always or not necessarily exploitative of the people who are in the pictures. It's actually sharing what's happening in their lives and what's happening.
I think that's very important that you said that, yeah. Because so often over here, maybe we might look at these pictures and think you're exploiting mm-hmm. that to get a cute picture, and people might think that, but as you said, it's actually telling a story and letting people know that there's real people out there.
Yeah, well, that's it. And like, there's people who are living in circumstances that I don't think any of us now would be able to survive in, you know, who are living with very little, and they're still happy, you know. And even though there does seem to be a habit of not wanting to smile in photographs, but I think you can definitely see in people's eyes, and sometimes it might take 3 or 4 photographs until I get somebody to smile, but by the time they smile, you can see it's this real genuine joy that they have. It's not just this plastered on smile that it's like, oh, another picture, okay, I'll smile. It's definitely kind of there's a joy and a passion about life, even though you would consider, like, how is this person, like, happy or joyous, or how are they kind of getting up every day?
I guess,
you know?
Is that because so often we think happiness depends upon having stuff?
I think so. Well, I think it's easy to kind of associate things with your happiness.
Yes, exactly.
But when you start thinking, okay, I'm happy because I have 100 likes on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever it is.
By the way, I just want to say, there's not enough of you liking the picture on Facebook.
That wasn't a plug.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
No, there's definitely, you know, you can definitely tie your happiness to something, or whether it's with friends or groups of people or relationships, whatever it is, you can tie your happiness to that. But deep down, you're not happy on your own, and you're not happy with your own circumstances when that's removed. And until you're happy with nothing, I don't know if you're actually truly happy, if that makes sense,
and,
you know?
And so I want to get on to as well, because you went to Kenya and it obviously impacted you and changed your view of photography and stuff. And I was just thinking, really, how as you stepped out of your comfort zone, going to Kenya. So clearly you stepped out of your comfort zone.
Definitely.
You didn't have anybody telling you, oh, that's a good picture, that's a good picture, oh, that one's grand. You had to make the decisions yourself.
Yeah.
And also, it obviously taught you something. What did it teach you about your own approach to photography and about the gifts that you've got? And,
well, I think the main thing was kind of experiencing how to engage with somebody through a camera without necessarily them having English, and you're not really having any Kiswahili, so you're kind of, you know, you say one or two words and that's about it. But you're able to engage, you're able to, whether it's with the kids and you're making faces or, you know, particularly some of the elderly people in one of the areas I was at, the first picture, it's kind of, they're just looking at you like, yes, you can take my picture. And then you show them the picture and you go to take more pictures, and they kind of almost become embarrassed and excited that you want to take their picture. And after 3 or 4 pictures, you have this lovely picture of a smile, and maybe they're laughing or whatever it is. They're really kind of happy in that moment. And that's something I never really thought about photography as doing, is that it can bring joy, you know, even like just to see a picture of yourself when you don't have pictures of yourself, when you don't have cameras, when you don't have things like that, just to see yourself and to have somebody want to take your picture as well. It kind of makes you feel almost important, you know, that you are a person. And that's why I suppose it completely flipped my view of journalistic photography in how it can be used, and that it is a place where you can give people dignity, you can give people kind of, like, you know, you've given someone a presence, you know. Like, if I hadn't gone and taken a picture of any of those individuals, would you even know they existed? You know, and it's that whole thing of being able to share them with with you.
I like that because actually, rather than actually, if people, if there's anybody out there thinking that it's exploiting, it's not exploiting. It's, you said that it's giving people dignity and presence that they are, that they exist, that there's people there. And that's beautiful.
Yeah, well, it's definitely something that, like with regards to Barry's question, getting back to it, that I do think that it does allow kind of to use, like, or God does allow you to use a gift like that, because it's not something you expect, you know. You don't think, oh, I'm going to take pictures of people and that'll be showing God's love, or I'm going to take pictures of people and they'll experience God through it or anything like that. What you think of is you just take pictures, you know, and just plain standard, there's your photograph. But it's about more than that. It's about engaging with someone, having an experience with someone, which I hope you can see in the photographs. I don't know that it translates 100%, but I think you can see a little bit of it. You can kind of see that there's a joy and engagement there.
Absolutely, and I definitely can see that, and good pictures definitely, they come alive, and I just had a thought there, and if anybody goes to our Facebook page and the picture that we posted, what would you say when you, not, I'm talking about the people that are listening here as opposed to you, and when you look at that picture, okay, what we'd like you to do is go to a Facebook page, look at the picture, and comment on what it says. So it might be a caption or maybe a scripture verse that comes to mind. What words would you put with the picture? I'd love to hear your comments on that. So do go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/spiritradio. What does a picture say? How would you caption it, or what would you comment? It's a beautiful picture of some kids that you've taken there.
Yeah.
And so what does it say about kind of life, or what quote, or what even scripture verse or caption, what would it say to you? What does it shout? I'd love to hear that. Also, I'd love to come back to now Barry, kind of also second half of your text, you mentioned, what would you have any advice for other photographers to use their gifts in this way? Now, we're going to take a couple of song break. And I want to actually come on to that a little bit later on. I also want to come on to how photography and faith, we want to talk about more how that interfaces. And the hour is going really quick. Because I think of how you're using your gifts in photography, and how when you kind of, before you went to university, you're kind of not quite sure what you wanted to do, and then God just uses those gifts and those passions. So we're going to come on to some of that stuff.
With Spirit.
And with me is Gronya McCarthy, just back from Kenya, an up-and-coming journalistic storytelling photographer, I should say. And I loved, actually, earlier, Gronya was talking about how pictures give dignity, they give presence to people who wouldn't otherwise meet. And just looking at the picture on our Facebook page, I put one of Gronya's pictures up on our Facebook page, and it's a beautiful picture. And I asked the question, what does the picture say? What comes to mind when you see, what story does it tell? To me, it says to me, happy kids, take more of my pictures. That's what it says to me.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what it says to me.
They're definitely like, the kids there are so, I don't know, they're so happy, and they love getting their picture taken, and they're all fighting over each other nearly to get in front of the camera and to get their picture taken.
And do you have to show it to them afterwards?
Yes. That's a big part of it.
And that's,
you know,
the joy of today's digital photography. Not like we had to wait for it to be printed and developed. So we actually, early before we had a little break with some songs, a couple of songs, we asked the question, actually, what advice can you give to up-and-coming photographers, and particularly maybe as people are actually thinking about university places, university courses, and not quite sure what they would do, and maybe is it right to follow your passion? Like when you first thought about university course, did you feel it was right to follow your passion of photography, or did you somehow feel, is that right or wrong?
Well,
is that like, God, should I do something I enjoy at university?
Yeah, no, it was very tough. It was a very tough decision to kind of come to. But I did know that there was a lot of prayer involved and a lot of kind of uncertainty. And in the end, trusting for God's peace and knowing that, okay, if I have God's peace about a situation, then I know it's from God. So I know that going to college, spending 4 years studying photography, you know, isn't necessarily for everyone. But I knew that by listening to God and by kind of giving the situation to God, I was able to say, okay, you know what, there's something that can happen with this. There's something that can be done both like for myself really, but for God, that it's kind of like God will be able to use me in this. He's given me these gifts and this kind of interest and passion, and he wants to grow it and whatever that will lead to. And what it's led to, I am still working in a coffee shop in Monkstown. You know, I am still trying to do this photography.
Which is not a bad thing.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Like, that's something that I'm kind of learning, is that, you know, it's a job that if I didn't have, I wouldn't have finished college. If I didn't have it this summer, I wouldn't have been able to go to Kenya, because there's not many jobs you can walk into and say, I'm going to be gone for 6 to 8 weeks.
And I think, you know, as well, Gwanya, all the different things that we do in life are mm-hmm. all part of our life's journey and are adding something to us. So whether it's working in a coffee shop, I worked in a laundrette for a while, mm-hmm. Washing clothes, and all these things add something to us. They build character, they build helping and maybe... learning about people and all those kind
definitely.
Of things, and they definitely play a part to play, a
yeah.
strong part to play.
And like, I really enjoy the job, like I really do. It's just in terms of, you know, the reality of going to university and being a photographer and all that, is that it isn't clear.
We haven't got much time left, but okay. if somebody said to you when you went to university that you were going to, about a year later after graduating, we're going to go with the Daughters of Charity, what would you have said to them?
I wouldn't have believed it. I definitely wouldn't have believed it. I wouldn't have thought it was possible or that I would be doing it.
Wow.
I'd have been excited, though, I think.
Well, Gwanya, stick around, because I'd love to hear some of your faith stories,
okay.
Particularly at university, and some of those stories. And we're still not really covered, actually, tips for up-and-coming photographers.
Okay.
What you learn. So we better do that when we come back.
Spirit.
You're on Spirit Radio. My name is Richie G, or Pop-Up Richie, here for your Wednesday night talk. With me is Gwanya McCarthy. And she's just a photographer, and she's just come back from Kenya working with the Sisters of Charity. And it's great to have you here, Gwanya. Thank you so much for keeping me company tonight, because I couldn't do it on my own. Anyway, especially talking about photography, I couldn't do it on my own. Anyway, it's great. Actually, now, if you just joined us, last hour we were talking about how pictures give dignity. They give presence to people who we wouldn't otherwise meet. And pictures tell a story. And that's pretty much what you were doing in Kenya. You're helping the Sisters of Charity tell their story through some new pictures. So you're really using your gifts and your skills that you had a passion for, and you fine-tuned, really, at university, because that's what university is about, isn't it? It's fine-tuning those gifts so we can use yeah. those skills in a career or in life. And now, one of the things we haven't really done is covered Barry's question in a bit mm-hmm. more depth. And he was asking advice that you'd give to other photographers in how they would use their gifts in this way. And now, I think you have touched a little bit in conversation, but let's just maybe summarise a little bit of what advice would you give to
yeah.
photographers maybe starting out, or maybe if there's somebody listening there and you're thinking, I want to go to university, I'd like to study photography, but I'm not sure, or I would like to study something else I'm passionate about, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure, is there a career afterwards, or does it actually matter? Is it more important to study something that I'm going to enjoy and grow into and grow kind of and allow us to see what God does?
Well, I think like regards that, there's definitely an element of like God puts interests and passions in your heart, you know, like they don't come from nowhere, like God plants them there. And I think that by kind of touching into that and by kind of saying, you know what, God, I have this, for example, with yourself, this passion for radio, this passion for talking to people, you know, like I have this passion. So what way can I use this for God? And kind of petitioning him with that and praying about it and kind of saying, what can I do with this? And it was a long time of coming to this realization that I wanted to use photography for this. And I tried different ways when I was in college. I did projects about kind of my relationship with God and, you know, looking at how if I go out and I see a tree or something and I photograph it, I don't necessarily photograph it just because it's a tree. I photograph it because I see it as the hand of the creator, and I see it as the same God who created that tree created me.
So, yeah, I'd love to come more on to that a little bit later. But what tips would you give?
That's the thing. So the tips that I would give would be just to really practice kind of engaging with people. You know, the whole thing that I learned with this trip was, like, I don't know if people would believe it or not, but I've always been a very shy person. So the thought of photographing people always terrified me, and perhaps that's why photojournalism terrified me as well.
Text just come in. I think it's from your dad saying, Grania's not shy, just kidding. She didn't really.
Oh, well, no, that's the thing. Is definitely kind of, it's important to kind of put yourself out of your comfort zone, to kind of try, and to kind of not just stay in the one area that you know is safe. To kind of say, okay, well, I've tried this and I don't know that this is necessarily what God has in store for me. And I'm not saying to everybody to kind of like drop everything they're doing and do something else, but kind of just to really like think about it, meditate on it, pray about it, and kind of say, okay, well, this isn't necessarily what God has in store for me, but even in this situation, how can God use me? So when I go back to working in the coffee shop, like just being nice to people, you know, and all that sort of stuff that allows you to bring God into something, like be like allowing you even as a photographer to bring God into a situation or to kind of just show his love doesn't mean these big grand kind of gestures or kind of moments that are life changing. It's about just being able to engage with a person, to capture, kind of try and capture their spirit within a picture, which sounds very difficult, I'm sure. But for me, I know that it's just been through learning to kind of take your time with a person. And it isn't about just, okay, quick, I'll take a picture. Like, that's it, I've got it.
So get to know
your
subject.
And that's something that I was only in Kenya for 6 weeks. It wasn't a very long time.
Now,
I would have stayed longer.
Now, you mentioned there's a few people that I'm sure, there's a few people there in your photography that you were mentioning to me before we came on air, just how you just kind of fell in love with being with some of these people. And there was a particular woman.
Yeah.
Do you want to just tell us a little bit about that? Because I think that illustrates something of what you've been talking about.
Definitely. So this one lovely woman who we went to visit is part of the elderly. And I will post the picture up on my own Instagram and things like that later on so that you can kind of have a look at it and see who I'm talking about. But she's a lovely woman who was very lonely and kind of reaching out and wanting to be in touch with people when we happened to go past her. And we were actually on our way to visit her. She didn't realise it. She's somebody who used to come down and visit the elderly. They have kind of a day centre twice a week, and she used to come, but she isn't able to because she can't walk and things. And we found that her situation wasn't exactly great. She didn't have clean water, things like this. And so we were talking, and well, the Sister Mary who I was with and the Florence, the translator, were talking to her son and kind of saying, okay, why isn't she in a better condition? Why hasn't she got better things, you know, and how it's important to kind of look after her and to provide for her. And I sat down on the grass with her because I was like, I've no place in this conversation, you know? And she just looks at me and she starts talking to me and she's looking at me and telling me something. And I'm like, I really want to know what she's saying. This sounds so important. Like, you know, so I called the translator over and I say, like, ask her, what is she telling me? And so she says, like, you know, come on, what are you telling her? And she says, oh, no, I'm just enjoying her company. You know, I'm just enjoying being with her. And she still didn't tell me what she said.
Oh, bless.
You know, but that's the whole thing of, you know, kind of learning to know when to pick up the camera, when not to, when to engage with someone and when to let people be as well. And just to learn that, like, it all comes through doing, you know, and putting yourself out and just being like, okay, I'm going to go, I'm going to take this picture.
And would you say that helps to understand the story of the picture that you're trying to capture?
I think it does. I think there's the whole thing of a picture says 1,000 words, you know? So I think a lot of pictures, they should and can stand on their own, but when you learn more about the people in the pictures, so for example, with the picture that's on Facebook, the kids in that picture are, they're so excited to get their picture taken. They're in the nursery, so it's kind of, I think they're around age 5 or 6, okay. I could be wrong on that, but they're... those particular kids who came together themselves to get a picture taken, it turns out after I took the picture and I was showing the sisters and talking about it, they were like, oh, those kids, that's great, you have a picture of those because we help fund their school because they have to pay some school fees. And so if it wasn't for like them being there, you know, like the picture itself is nice, but learning that these kids come from a situation where they don't have enough money to pay for them to go to school. If it wasn't for the Daughters of Charity, A, providing the school, and B, providing the funds, these kids wouldn't be in school. They wouldn't learn. They wouldn't learn English. They wouldn't learn how to write. They wouldn't learn how to read. All that sort of stuff. So it definitely adds to a story. But the picture itself, I think, is, you know, it's nice enough to tell a story, you know, and for you to kind of look at it and engage with it. And that's why it's nice to kind of see what people may think the picture says to them. But kind of learning more about the people in it is always good, you know?
Yeah, I think that's beautiful, actually. Like you say, pictures do, I think, really do tell 1,000 words. And I think I'm not going to look at, when I'm taking pictures myself now, and I'm not a great picture taker, I have to admit. People ask me, like, you went on holiday but you didn't take any pictures? Like,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, well, I mean, but I'm certainly actually going to think much more now when I'm taking pictures.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like what you said there about engaging with people and getting to know the people before you take the picture. Some good advice, some good tips there. And I guess it's about journeying as well with the people that you're joining with to take the photo and giving them dignity and presence, as opposed to exploitation, because that's not what we're about. Okay, I'd love to come on to, before we wrap up the show, I'd love to come on to some of your experiences at university. You touched on a little bit there, but actually how faith interfaced in university life with photography and how it informs your photography, because I'd love to hear more on that.
This is a Spirit Radio podcast.
God, amen. Okay, isn't it good news, hey? Fantastic. Well, welcome into the programme. It's myself, Pop-Up Richie, and with me is Gráinne McCarthy. And we're talking about how we use our gifts and abilities to serve God and to serve others as well, to serve people. Gráinne, if you just joined, is recently back from Kenya. She went out to serve the Sisters of Charity in gathering, using her skills as a photographer to gather new stories and images to tell their story, is a good way of saying. And now I want to really want, Gráinne, I'd love you to share with us as part of your journey at university, because so many people go to university and maybe they're kind of not quite sure, is that the course I should be doing? Or maybe I should have a break from it, take some time out, or maybe I should do something else. And we've touched on actually just how important it is actually following after your passions. And we want to come on to that, I'm sure. But tell us something about your story at university and how your faith informed and interfaced with that journey of photography, particularly in university life.
So I guess kind of like starting out, deciding that I was going to pursue the photography, I did it through prayer and through kind of saying, okay, God, like, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And if I get those points, it'll have to be a miracle. So I know it's from you, you know?
Yeah.
And I found sometimes it could be quite tough, not only in terms of the course and the work and all that sort of stuff. And as I said, I'm not particularly academically inclined, but...
I know that feeling.
But, you know, doing essays and things like that, it was challenging. And it wasn't necessarily what I expected going into it. But I really found that, you know, there was times when, so for example, I had to take a year out I took a year out to work and to save money to kind of help to afford to go to college, you know. Like, I'm not from Dublin and I'm paying rent and all that sort of stuff. So I took a year out and I was working, and I went to the opticians and she was, you know, that was fine. And then she kind of referred me to a specialist. And it turns out I have a condition called keratoconus, which is a bit of a mouthful.
It's a bit of a mouthful, yes.
But basically, it means that my eyes, instead of being spherical, they become more of a cone shape. And it can give you a slightly distorted vision.
Now, like, did you realise before you went to the optician there was something up? Or did you just think it was normal?
Well, it was just a normal. I kind of realised that my glasses had changed, but it was my prescription changed like 2 or 3 times within a year. And it was quite big changes. And she kind of did, she looked at my eye and she was so excited. She was so excited to find this keratoconus. And I was like, I'm so happy you're excited, but, you know, can you tell me what's going on? You know, so...
Shouldn't we be worried when the optician gets excited about it?
Quite possibly, when she wants to go and call the one from reception and to have a look at your eyes.
Look what we've got. It's a bird, it's a plane.
Exactly.
No, it's not. I can't say that word.
Yeah, keratoconus.
That's the
yeah.
one.
So... So basically, it's a slight distortion in the vision, slight doubling of vision, and it can become worse and worse and worse over time. So I ended up having to get surgeries. And during this time, I was like, God, you're having a laugh here. Like, what are you doing? I've decided to come to college. I've followed you to college to do photography. And not only have I had to take a year out to try and save to pay for it, I've had to spend that money on eye surgery because I have distorted vision. Like, what sort of a photographer am I going to be with this, you know? And I'm very lucky in that they caught it, they caught it very early, and that there aren't major issues. Yeah. I still have a slight doubling of vision, but it doesn't affect me greatly. Because, you know, you only have one set of eyes and that's what you see through. So it just looks perfectly normal to me. So it was during that time that I was kind of like, I was really struggling. I was like, God, what are you doing? Like, what, like, you're trying to be mean at this stage. I was kind of trying to figure out, like, what's going on. But I was kind of like, no, okay, like, that isn't God. That is, like, God isn't trying to be mean about this, you know? I don't really know why. I guess it's part of my testimony. It's part of the story, you know, and it makes it a bit more interesting.
True.
But when I went back into third year, it was into a different class of people because I'd taken the year out and everything like that. And I went in and I was like, okay, God, I want to figure out how to do photography for you, how to kind of bring you into this. And I was like, why not use it in terms of I'm doing projects, my class are going to see... I get to talk about it in front of my class and they give feedback on it and all that sort of stuff. So I decided to do about my way of viewing the world as a Christian. So in terms of, as I said earlier, if I see a tree, it isn't just a tree. It's, you know, it's God's creation,
God's,
you know,
yeah.
And kind of trying to look at how to combine my faith and God in terms of photography. And I did that. It was challenging and it was terrifying to get up in front of my class and do a presentation on this, you know. But then there was kind of times again where I kind of felt like, God, where are you? You know, again, it was this whole, here I am, I'm doing this for you. I'm, you know, I'm showing you these, like, I'm trying to show people all about you and everything like that. And it was almost like humbling, you know, and God was kind of, you know, it felt distant, but he was there. And my final project in college, my graduate show, I did some self-portraiture. So it's pictures with me in it, none of my face, actually.
The head?
Well, there's one of, like, the back
cutting
of my
head. Okay.
There's one in the back of my head. There's one of, like, my figure, and, you know, it's kind of all artsy stuff.
Okay, yes.
So
creative.
I was looking at that, and I was looking at Psalm 23, and I was looking at, okay, God is leading me somewhere. God is bringing me on this journey. Yet I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Like, I walk through these darkest areas. God is leading me through these dark areas. But the important thing is he's leading me and he's with me through it. So even though there's times when I'm like, I was ready to not finish college. Like, there was times when I was at that stage, you know? And it's something that it was a big challenge, and it was a big kind of no, like, I've committed to this. I've committed to doing it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to see what comes from it. You know, there's nothing bad is going to come from finishing college, you know. Yes, I might be a little bit more in debt than if I didn't, but, you know, I'm definitely going to be able to, like, use something from this, even if it is just because going to find a job, a degree is better to have at times, you know. And now looking at it, if I hadn't my degree in photography, my BA in photography, I wouldn't have gone on this trip to Kenya. So the organization I mentioned earlier, VLM or Vincentian Lay Missionaries, when I contacted them, I was their first volunteer to go to Kenya. And
a guinea pig.
Right. An absolute guinea pig. It was so funny at the training. It's like, you know, so Grania, you can tell us about Kenya when you come back. So a lot of the time they send volunteers to Ethiopia and Ghana and things and places like that where the Daughters of Charity are. And the volunteers there would do a lot through education. So they do kids camps and things like that. And when I contacted, I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm not a teacher. Like, I'm too shy to stand up in front of a group of people to tell them what to do anyway. You know, so it was that whole thing of, what am I doing here? Like, why am I contacting them? But Mum was kind of encouraging me to do something, you know, do something good and to volunteer and to give back. And so I contacted them and they were like, you have a degree in photography. So we actually need photographs from Kenya. Would you like to go? And of course, I was
like,
yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes, like, and the whole thing happened so quickly. So I was calling back in to show a couple of the pictures today to some of the sisters. Excuse me. And I was walking down the road and I was like, wow, I only walked down here less than 5 months ago to see if I'd even go on this trip. And here I am walking back in with some photographs in my hand. And it was just kind of this incredible experience of what God can do if you just kind of, like, just go with it. Just go with what God's doing, you know, and just kind of see where he's going to take you, because he isn't going to want to bring you somewhere horrible. You know, he's going to want to bring you through something, you know. And that's something, again, with the Psalm 23, is that he doesn't just bring you to this dark place. He brings you through it. And so kind of trusting in him is really important, to just let it, I don't know how to put it, but just to kind of go with it.
He walks with you and walks with us. And that's so important. Maybe there's people listening that are not starting out their university, but in the middle of it, and they're wondering, I can't continue.
Yeah.
And you feel like, I feel so alone. I can't do this. But actually to know that God is walking with you and he is with you.
Yeah.
And he will get you through it. He will give you the ability to do it.
And even after finishing college as well, like, you know, that's something that I was like, okay, great, God, now I have a degree in photography and it's somewhere, like, it's on top of my wardrobe. Like, what do I do with it?
Some of the projects that you did at university, you touched on, you did some projects about how you see photography as a Christian and perspective. And what were the students' reaction to that? You said you had to do a class presentation.
Yeah, so I had to do a presentation at the start where I kind of just put up the kind of general idea of what I was going to do. And, like, I kind of started off with this presentation and it's like, okay, for those of you who don't know, because it was a new class who I didn't know a lot of the people that well. And I was like, that I'm a Christian and I see the world differently because I'm a Christian, because I look, and it isn't easy to see. It isn't easy to see God everywhere you go. It's definitely not. But if you're connecting with God through prayer and things like that, you can really kind of allow him to show you things. Allow him to show you pictures, for example, like, you know, in terms of what to photograph. You can allow him to show you people. You know, you can really kind of, if you open yourself up to God, you can do amazing things with it, you know. So it's very much about being open to that. And standing in or being in front of my class, like, there was at one stage you presented everything and then there was 10 minutes that they responded and you weren't allowed to talk. And that was terrifying, having this class of, and as far as I'm aware, none of them are Christians and none of them ever told me that they were Christians or anything like that. But having this class of people discuss you so personally and your faith and God and, you know, people are arguing against each other about, oh, it should be about this issue and it should be about this. And no, it's about her personal thing. And it was just this incredible thing just to see, like, God move, like, God just talking to these people and these people defending God who aren't Christians. And, you know, and just kind of seeing that reaction, and the conversation went on far longer than it was meant to because people are interested, you know, and kind of having conversations about God. And that's when I decided I really wanted to try and go with it and to see what God was going to do with this photography, you know. It isn't just about taking photographs. It's about so much more. It's about, I don't know, engaging with people. And I think that's kind of the
key.
That's good.
That's absolutely, Gwanya, it's absolutely fantastic to have you on the show. We are running out of time. I think we need to kind of close and wrap up with something which really has spoken to you about actually pursuing and letting those dreams happen, letting those passions from within. Because a scripture that comes to mind, that God has given the desires of our hearts.
Yeah, definitely.
And because He grants the desires of our heart, because I think in the end of the day, he's put them there in the first place. So it's only right that we should, as Paul writes, Timothy, fan into flames. So tell us about this song, Let It Happen.
Yeah.
I'll just let it play a little bit in the background.
Yeah, this song is, I think it's kind of important to listen to the lyrics in it. And if you have time when you're at home, you know, you can definitely find it online. And it's a song that's just all about letting God take control of a situation, to not be afraid, and how, and I think this is what's kind of changed in me anyway since Kenya. You know, I'm still working in a shop. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing next with my photography, but the key is that I'm trying to figure out what's next. Whereas before it was kind of a lull, but now it's, you know, He's ignited, as the song says, a passion. He's kind of wanting to push you forward. You know, you don't want to be stagnant when you're with God. You just want to go for it and you want to see what He has next. And it's a really scary and exciting time. And I guess, as it's saying, like, he wants you to come away with Him, you know. And it's not just about you being here and Him being there. It's about just going together and going on a journey, you know, wherever that may be. And it may not be incredibly clear, and it may be really difficult at times, but to know that He's there and you're stepping through it with Him, if that makes sense.
It does make perfect sense, absolutely, to let it happen and just go with the flow and just see what God does. Yeah. Let's hear a little bit of the song, shall we?
To let it go.
Wow, what a beautiful song, I have to say there. Let It Happen, United Pursuits. Yeah. And Gwanya, I have to say, the chorus in that song goes, you're full of life now and full of passion.
Yeah.
And it's how He made you. Just let it happen.
Yeah, it's so important to kind of just realise that you're not, like, God hasn't called you for just the mundane. You know, He wants you to reach out and just go for it.
Absolutely. And I've often said as well, and I've said this when I've talking to young people, is like, God never calls us into a vacuum, but we always have something to do. And so the words there, you're full of life now and full of passion, and it's how He made you. Just let it happen.
Spirit.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show, Gwanya.
Thank you.
To have to say, if people want to see more of your pictures, they can follow you on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I've actually posted your Instagram name onto the Facebook.
I have to say the Instagram is a lot of just fun pictures, I suppose. But I'm going to be posting some of the Kenya pictures up over the next week or two as well.
And your Instagram name is GRAMCC. 05. And that is on the Facebook post that I posted early in the show as well. I've just appended that to the post, edited the post and put it in. Okay, well, that is pretty much it from this tonight. Gwanya, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much again. It's been a pleasure to have you. And thank you so much. And thank you to everybody else who's been taking part in the show, who's liked the picture on Facebook. Thank you to you all. And go on liking it and sharing it as well. It's wonderful.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.